Amen. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see you in the house of the Lord, and a very, very welcome, warm welcome back to all those who have traveled. So good to see you back in the house of the Lord. Yes, very good to see you, Christopher, Yang Yang and family, and all the rest who have traveled. So good to see all of you back in the house of the Lord. And as I always try to remind you, time is really passing by very, very quickly. We are almost in the middle of the second month of the year, in case you are very oblivious of it. So you see, time flies very, very quickly. And very soon, Easter will be here, and then we have our mid-year camp, and then soon, the end of the year will come again. And then we will have to ask ourselves again, what have we done for the Lord Jesus Christ? So what have we done for the Lord Jesus Christ? May He give us the necessary conviction to want to serve Him well, to bring Him honor and glory. And we should be able to do it, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. We do not have a dead Savior, but we have a living Savior who lives in us, who empowers us, who enables us to do things that will bring honor and glory to Him. So, my dear friends, look up to Him, call out to Him for help, and He will surely enable us to do well for Him. My subject this morning is run and fight to win. Run and fight to win and not to lose. Now, sports seems to be an international language. When nations do not get along well with one another, and sometimes when they try to come together again, they will try to do it through sports. Now you take, for example, these two countries, India and Pakistan. Historically, they have been at odds with one another. But when they try to warm up to one another, sometimes they do it through this game called cricket. Both countries are cricket mad. So they use cricket and they try to come together to sort of try to strike up a relationship between themselves. And then, you know, sometimes teams engage coaches that do not speak their language. For example, I think the soccer team in China has got a European coach. The European coach doesn't speak Mandarin, and the Chinese players obviously do not speak the European language. So how do they communicate? Of course they communicate through the game, through soccer. Now what about Aussies? Aussies here love sports. Now I think we'll find it very, very useful if you want to communicate with Aussies very, very effectively and clearly, and if you want to get their attention, sometimes it is good to make use of the language of sports. You talk cricket, you talk rugby, and they'll listen to you. And they might understand you very, very clearly also. Say, for example, if I wanted to express the idea of one person's performance being very, very, very much better than another person's performance, I might just cite the example of the recent cricket match between recent cricket matches between Australia and England. Yes, they call it a whitewash, because in the recent Ashes tournament, Australia beat England by 5-0. 5-0. Yes, 5-0. It was a whitewash. So if I wanted to tell an Aussie that one person's performance is definitely superior to the other person's performance, I say this person's performance whitewashes the other person's performance. Just like the way Australia beat England. And they will understand it very, very clearly, what I'm talking about. Now, the Corinthian Christians, the Corinthian Christians appreciated sports very much. In fact, most of the Corinthians, I dare believe, would have appreciated sports very much. And they had great interest in this game known as the Isthmus Games, or the Isthmian Games, which was regarded to be more important than the Olympic Games in those days. And the Isthmian Games would come around once in 3 years. And the people in the city of Corinth would understand the kind of rigors and the kind of discipline athletes had to exercise in order that they might be able to compete in the games. Now Paul being an excellent teacher would use this kind of language, the language of sports, to talk spiritual things with the folks in the city of Corinth. He knew that they would be very interested to hear because they were very interested in sports. And they could understand that language because they were interested in sports. Now, with this kind of language, Paul challenged the Corinthian Christians to live their Christian life with discipline. He wanted them to see that the Christian life was not an easy road, but the Christian life was actually a long-distance race. It was a demanding fight. He wanted them to see that. Now, so in essence, he was trying to tell them, advance your Christian life. Advance your Christian life as if you were engaged in a fight, a long fight, as if you were engaged in a long-distance race. And that is what we want to talk about this morning. Run. Run to obtain. Run in order to obtain a prize. And number two, run and fight with discipline. And number three, run and fight with endurance. Run that you may obtain. Run that you may obtain a prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Can you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. I read for you again. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Run that ye may obtain. To run this Christian race successfully, you must run with the aim of getting the prize. Yes, don't run casually, don't run aimlessly, but be very, very diligent in your focus in running this race. Now, often we hear people say, I play this game for fun. All right. Now, what they mean is that they do not play this game to win a prize, they just play the game for fun. Now, there's nothing wrong with playing a game for fun. In fact, it's good to play a game for fun and for the exercise. But Paul here is not talking about playing sports for fun. He is talking about the way we ought to be living our Christian life. And so he pointed to the Isthmian Games. These are games that came around once in every 3 years. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. There was one prize in the competition. And all the athletes were eyeing that prize. They were chasing that prize. And Paul was actually talking about the earnestness, the seriousness, the purposefulness in which these athletes will go after the prize. And that's the way we ought to be running our Christian race. With seriousness, with a purposefulness, with earnestness. That's the way we ought to be running our Christian, living our Christian life. Now let's not misinterpret and think that Paul is saying that there is only one single prize for all the Christians throughout the ages. One and only one prize. Only one person can get that prize. No, my dear friends, if we were to read other parts of Scripture, we'll surely know that there are prizes and there are trophies for those who run diligently and faithfully. Not just one prize, but many prizes for those who run faithfully and diligently. Paul was actually urging the Christians to focus on the earnestness, seriousness, purposefulness of living their Christian life. Yes? Just like the way athletes would focus on these things when they are participating in the games. So let's ask ourselves, am I just muddling along in our Christian life, in my Christian life? Am I just muddling along? Am I serious in my Christian life? Am I earnest in my Christian life? Am I purposeful for the cause of the gospel? Am I purposeful in bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, we must be. We must be. We must run and obtain. Run and obtain the prize. That is what we must be doing. Now, in order to run and to obtain, first of all, you must be at the starting line. If you are not at the starting line, you can't even start the race. Isn't it true? So you must be at the starting line. In fact, Paul saw himself as a kind of a herald. Yes, making the grand announcement for people to come to be at the starting line. Now, how do we know that? You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Yes, 9:27, Paul says, "But I keep under my body, I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." He saw himself as a preacher, as a herald, if you like, calling people to come to the starting line to start the race. Now, haven't we heard of the kinds of fiascos athletes have made? Yes, they were careless in reading the race schedule, and then they missed the race. They misread the schedule, and then they went to the stadium, and by the time they arrived at the stadium, the race was already over. They missed the race because they misread the race schedule. My dear friends, I urge you to be sure that you are at the starting line and not be late for the starting line. Yes, in the case of the athlete, he could be late because of his carelessness. But I dare say that many people are not at the starting line at all, late for the starting line, because they do so with choice. They choose to be late. They choose not to be there. Yes. Now, like the herald of the race announcing the start of the race, the preacher here who stands on the pulpit every Lord's Day calls on people to be starting at the starting line. If you are not there, he's calling you, "Come, come, be at the starting line, be ready to start, be in the race." Week after week, he does that. Then some might say, "No, I know, I don't want to be at the starting line." By choice, you choose not to be there. By choice. Understand this truth, my dear friends. Each time you say no to this call to be at the starting line, you are in actual fact progressively hardening your heart. That's what you are doing. Every time you say no, your heart hardens a little bit more. Every time you say no, your heart hardens a little bit more. And there might come a time when your heart is so hard that God might just give you up. And when God gives you up, you are in serious trouble. Yes, you will not be able to repent when God gives you up. Now, in a revival meeting in this place called Shamokin in Pennsylvania in the U.S., there was this unsaved man who went to this revival meeting. And this man was one for whom many of the Christians were praying. Now, at the end of one of the meetings, the members in the congregation urged him to go forward, to confess his sins, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. This man stood up, and then he smiled scornfully, and with a very, very satanic smile, he started to laugh. He burst out laughing so loudly that everybody in the congregation could hear him laughing. And then he shouted, "It's too late, it's too late. I sinned away my last chance to come to believe." And then he dashed out through the door. He spurned the gospel over and over and over again to the point where his heart was so hard that God might just have given him up. My dear friends, if God gives you up, it will be too late for you to come to the starting line. So my dear friends, why do you come to the starting line today if you have never done so already? Now, I do not know your heart. You could be here every Lord's Day listening to the word, or you, at least you seem to be listening, or I trust you are really listening. But every time the gospel is preached, you say no to it. You say no, you're spurning the gospel. Don't do it, my dear friends. Come today, on the 10th day of the horse of the year of the horse. Come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. His invitation is open to you. He says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as colored, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." How may we obtain the prize? How? Look at 1 Corinthians 9:25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Now, Paul says here, he that striveth for the mastery, in other words, a person who competes must be temperate in all things. He must exercise self-control, self-discipline. He must run with self-discipline. and he must fight with self-discipline. That's my point. The spiritual race that we have entered into, if we have already entered into this race, is a long, grueling, agonizing race. You just look at the words that are used in this short passage, you will realize that the fight or the race is a very, very grueling one, agonizing one. Verse 24, Paul says, run that you may obtain. You see, you don't just muck around, you run that you may obtain. Verse 25, strive for the mastery. You know, strive, you really play hard. Strive hard for the mastery. Verse 26, so fight I, you see. Verse 27, I keep under my body. I keep under my body and I bring it under subjection. Now, my dear friends, these words indicate the kind of grueling, agonizing contest that we are in. So no place for mucking around, my dear friends. We must be serious, earnest, purposeful in the way we run our race. To run our race successfully, we must exercise self-discipline. You just look at the marathon runner. It is sheer agony and torture for him. You just wonder how people can run 42 kilometers at that speed. You watch on television in the Olympics how the marathon runners will run 42 kilometers. And when they come to the last 10 kilometers, you can be very, very sure that it's sheer agony and torture. Yes, now at this stage of the race, if he were to give in to his pain, then he would have to quit the race. He would have to give up. But no, very often at the last stretch, the last 10 kilometers, you see the strong ones. Yes, they will go on. They will exercise self-discipline, self-control. They will go on in spite of all the pain. Their whole purpose is to finish the race and, if possible, win the race. That's their whole purpose. They don't give up. My dear friends, that's what we must do. We must exercise self-discipline and self-control in our Christian living, in the way we live our Christian life. We must be temperate in all things. Exercise self-control, exercise self-discipline. We must exercise the holy discipline of what? Of praying and of reading His Word. So, my dear friends, we have to ask ourselves, how well have we been setting aside time to do our daily devotion? How well, how disciplined are we doing it? My dear friends, if we want to run our Christian race well, there is simply no other way. We have to spend time with the Lord. We must read His Word. We must be very, very disciplined in doing so. Have we been, friends? Have we been? Now, what it means that we might have to give up some sleep. Yes. It might also mean that we have to give up some shows that we like to watch at night. Yes, give this up. We might have to, so that we may be able to spend time reading God's Word and praying unto Him. A young girl was living a very worldly life. And then she was converted. Her father was very, very skeptical of her conversion. But this young girl really meant business. Every morning, early in the morning, she would wake up and she would do her devotion, she would read the Bible and she would pray. And after a long period, the father was very, very impressed by her testimony. And he said, if she has the discipline to read the Bible and to pray every morning the way she does, her conversion must be true. That's right, my dear friends. If our conversion is true, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be setting aside time to read the Word of God and to pray. Have we been doing that? Friends, this is a very, very good test of whether we are true believers or not. If we are true believers, we really love God's Word. Yes, we really love God's Word and we delight in praying unto Him. We delight in communing with Him. Then we must also exercise the holy discipline of crucifying self. If we want to fight well, if we want to be at the finish line gloriously, my dear friends, we must exercise the discipline of self-crucifixion. Daily, we must crucify self. Daily, like the great apostle Paul, we must be saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It means recognizing that this old sinful self in us is dead, crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are therefore dead to sin, alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I no longer live for myself. I no longer live to satisfy the lust of my flesh. I no longer live to satisfy the lust of my eyes. No longer do I live to satisfy my pride of life. My one whole purpose is to glorify the name of the Lord. My dear friends, daily we need to do this exercise so that we can get rid of the self-centeredness in us. Yes, every day, come before the Lord and say, Lord, I am crucified with you. We must do that. Yes, in order that we might get rid of this self-centeredness in us, so that we may be able to live our Christian life victoriously. And then we must also exercise the holy discipline of surrendering ourselves unto the Lord. True, we have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must also recognize that we have risen with him. Yes, we've risen with this Savior of ours. The new man in us is alive. Yes, risen with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like us to turn to Romans chapter 6 and look at verses 11 to 13. Romans chapter 6, 11 to 13. Romans 6, 11 to 13. Let me read for you. Likewise, Paul says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Of course we must be dead unto sin because we have been crucified with him, so that sin no longer has dominion over us, which means that if we choose not to sin, we are able not to sin. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, and it should not be reigning over our mortal body, because we are dead to sin. That ye should obey in the last thereof. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, my dear friends, if we want to run this Christian race well, we must have the discipline of surrendering ourselves entirely to the Lord. Old man crucified, the new man alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the members of our body, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, every part of our body, yielded to the one true living God as instruments of righteousness. That's the secret for living a victorious Christian life. If we haven't been living victorious Christian lives, then we have to check ourselves to see whether or not the old man in us has been crucified, and that we are allowing the new man to gain more and more prominence in our lives. My dear friends, this must happen. If this doesn't happen, my dear friends, we can never ever live a victorious Christian life. And then to exercise discipline in our spiritual life also means we are to run not uncertainly. In other words, we run with purpose, not uncertainly. Look at chapter 9, verse 26. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. Please help our friends to refer to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. Yes, please help our friends to refer to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. I read for you. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. That means run surely. All right. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. We are not to run uncertainly, but we are to run surely, to run with purpose. We must run with an aim, with certainty, and not aimlessly. We must keep our hearts and minds focused on the finish, where the Lord Jesus Christ is standing to receive us unto himself. Now I'm afraid that many of us who are in the Christian race are not running it like a race. We're in the race, but we are not running it like a race. We are not focused on the finish. Not at all. No aim. So no aim, no commitment. No commitment, no urgency in service. Isn't that very true? If we are really focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to run this race well, we will definitely have commitment. We say, Lord, I want to serve you, and we mean it. There will be commitment. Yes? And then if there is commitment, everything that we do for the Lord, we'll do it with urgency. We don't just muck around, right? We do it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to glorify His name. Yes. Now, the way the we should look at sportsmen for an example of how dedicated we should be to run our Christian race well. I refer you to this rugby team, the All Blacks. You know, the All Blacks, the team from New Zealand. They are the champion rugby. They have the champion rugby team in the world. They play in the black jersey, black shorts. Yes, and before they play every game, they go to the ritual of going to the haka. You know, the haka. They go to the war dance and so forth. And eyes will be very huge. Will be sticking out the tongue, and they look so murderous. Yes, the whole intent, we may think, is to scare the opponents. But you know, rugby players are rugby players. You can have whatever look you want to have to show to them, they are not scared. Right? They're all rugby players. But I suppose they do the haka for one purpose, and that is to boost their own morale and to cause themselves to be very, very focused on one thing, and that is to win the game. That's what they do. And my dear friends, and that is what we must do. Our focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands at the finish line, waiting to receive us. We must be looking at Him all the time when we run our Christian race. Yes, if we do not, and we do not run certainly, we do not run with purpose, without any focus on the Lord, we can go astray easily. It's true. You don't focus on Him, you go astray very easily. And what can cause us to go astray? Now let's look at a few things that might cause us to go astray. First, the love of the world. It can consume anyone, my dear friends. And let us not think that I've been a Christian for so many years, I cannot be consumed by the world. It can never happen to me. But the Word of God tells us this. Paul serves this warning to us. He says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Even seasoned Christians can fall. Now, I've cited the case many times already, Demas. Remember the case of Demas. Many times before I've spoken about him. Yes, we can very well be like Demas. Now, Demas was a fellow laborer of the great apostle Paul. For many years, he served with Paul. Now, when Paul came to the close of his ministry, this was what he had to say about Demas, something that was very, very sad. He said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Now, what caused this man Demas to go astray? To go astray, to depart from Paul, which meant also that he departed from the Lord Jesus Christ. What caused him to depart from Paul, and what caused him to depart from the Lord Jesus Christ? It was his love of this present world. Yes, his love for this present world. Can it happen to me? Of course it can happen to me. It happened to Demas. It can happen to me. That is why it is absolutely necessary that we fight, not uncertainly, but with our whole attention focused on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Will we do that, friends? We must, if we do not want to go astray. Now, the question is, what's the world that can pull us away from the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it? It's hard to define the world, as I said many times before, but one commentator puts it very, very broadly. Anything that cools our affection for the Lord is the world. So what is it in our life that cools our affection for the Lord? If it cools our affection for the Lord, it is the world. Your career surely can cool your affection for the Lord. It can cause you to go astray. When you were in school, yes, you served the Lord well, you served the Lord in the YF, you were very zealous, and then when you came to the end of your school life, you have gone to university, you prayed that the Lord will grant you a good career. And the Lord answered your prayer, and He granted you a good career. But no sooner have you stepped into the world to work, then you start to go away from the Lord. You go further and further away from the Lord. The higher you climb the corporate ladder, the further away you get away from the Lord. Can this not happen to you? It surely can. I remember years ago teaching a Sunday school class. It was a nice Sunday school class to teach, yes, because the class was made up of very, very brilliant boys, all boys, yes, and they came from two elite schools in Singapore. Yes, they were in those days, they called what, college, yes, junior college one and junior college two. They came from junior college one, junior college two, yes, and they were very, very intelligent boys, and they had great spiritual potentials. They served well in the YF. Some of them were serving in the committee. In fact, one of them was the president of the YF. Yes. And then they went to the school, went to the university, graduated, and they went into the secular world. And then slowly but surely, I saw them drifting. They went further and further and further from the Lord. Many of them. And at the peak of their career, they all look nothing more than nominal Christians. They could have served the Lord well, but they were not serving. They appeared as if they were nominal Christians. Can that happen to you? Surely it can, my dear friends. If you think it can't happen to you, just remember this man Demas, so close to the Apostle Paul, and he fell. He went astray. It can happen to you. So it's so needful that we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have that discipline. And then the pleasures of the world can pull us away from the Lord also. Some love to socialize. They go to this social club, that social club. They love to socialize. They like to climb the social ladder and to be seen as who's and who's in society. The Lord has no place in their hearts. And then some love to shop. Yes, they love to shop. They need to satisfy the lust of their eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What they like, they buy. Yes, what they like, they just buy. And then sometimes they buy because other people buy. And because other people buy, I must buy also. All because of the pride of life. And others go astray. Why? Because they get into an unequal yoke relationship. The Word of God is very, very clear. The Word of God says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Do believers know this truth? Yes or no? Do believers know this truth, that we should have no fellowship with people who are walking in darkness? We should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do we know this truth? Yes. All right, yes. My friends, we know this truth. There are people who know this truth very well, but friends, they still want to disobey the Lord, and they get themselves unequally yoked with unbelievers. And it is a very, very sad unequal yoke, because once they get yoked, they are yoked. Yes, they go astray completely from the Lord. It's true. They lose their focus on the Lord. Now, another situation we believers can get ourselves into is that we might not go astray, but we slow down in our service for the Lord, and we do not make good progress towards the finish line where the Lord is waiting for us. We grow weary in our service. We grow weary in well-doing. Paul says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We grow faint in our service for the Lord. Why? Why do we grow faint in our service for the Lord? The real problem is that we are not focused on Him. We rely on our strength so much to serve Him, and we forget that our strength comes from the Lord, and that we must be looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, for strength. If we look at ourselves for strength to serve the Lord, one thing that can cause us to be weary is what? Discouragement. Yes, we work so hard, we say, but we don't seem to be able to see results. The Sunday school class that I teach doesn't seem to be growing. And then the fellowship that I'm involved in, that I'm ministering to, seems to be so unspiritual, seems to be so lifeless. People don't seem to take heed to what I say. When I preach, nobody listens. When I lead, nobody cares. Yes, we can be so discouraged that we feel like giving up. Friends, let us recognize that this ploy is actually from the evil one. But friends, let us run, not as uncertainty, but run with purpose, And the only way for us to run with purpose is to look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who stands at the finish line. Friends, our race must be run to glorify Him. Our desire must be to reach the finish line and then hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, Paul saw the Christian life not only as a race, but he also saw it as a fight. He was concerned about the wastage of time, energy, and talent. And so for him, he must fight with discipline. All right, he must run, he must fight with discipline so that he will not be wasteful in regards to the use of his talents. Yes, he wanted to fight very, very economically. Not that he was stingy in the use of his talents to serve the Lord. No, he was very, very generous in using all his talents to serve the Lord. But at the same time, he was very economical. He was not wasteful. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." You know, can you imagine, you are a boxer, you fight, you just hit the air. You don't hit the target. Now, he says this, that he knew this, that if a boxer were to throw a punch and then he misses a punch, he misses the target, he's actually wasting a lot of energy, right? He swings and he misses, he uses a lot of energy. And not only that, if you know a little bit about boxing, you know that if you miss the target, the moment you miss the target, you actually expose yourself to be attacked by the enemy. Somehow you position your arm in a certain way that your face or some parts of your body will be exposed to the opponent. Your opponent can just strike you at that time. Now, who is our enemy? Our enemy is, of course, made up of this trio: the devil, the world, and self. They are just waiting to consume us. And let us understand that the wasting of our energy and our time is really very, very related to our exposure to being attacked by the evil one. Yes, or attacked by our enemies. Now, let's say you have time on a Friday evening. Time to spare. You came back from your work, you come back from the office, and then you have time to spare. You know that on Friday night you can come to the church prayer meeting, and you know that there's a prayer meeting in the church office or in the church building here. And then, but instead of doing this good thing of coming to the church prayer meeting to pray for the well-being of the church, which means you are actually praying for the well-being of your family also, you decide to stay at home. You slump down on your couch and you watch a television show instead of going to the church prayer meeting. My dear friends, you have misused your talent. You have misused your time. The time ought to be spent at the prayer meeting, but you wasted that time away. And instead what? You get yourself bombarded by the world. You get bombarded by the television show. Yes, that is what actually happens. Or you know that someone needs encouragement in the Lord. Yes, that person perhaps has just lost his job. He needs someone to encourage him, to comfort him. And you have the time to do that. You have it. But instead of going out to help him, to pray with him, to encourage him, you decide to go shopping. No necessity for going shopping that day. All right, you can shop anytime. And then you go shopping. No need for you to do shopping also, but you go shopping. And then when you go shopping, what you are doing is actually exposing yourself to be bombarded by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yes, you are just exposing yourselves and allowing yourself to be satisfy these three things: the lust of the eyes, the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And then throughout the day, friends, if we are economical fighters, we will realize that we have pockets of time here and there throughout the day. You cannot say that you are busy all the time, every time you are occupied, 100% occupied in your work all the time. There are pockets of time when you are free, here and there. We could use that time profitably. If we are economical fighters, we make every of our blows count. Yes, there are pockets of time that we can make use of to memorize the Word of God. Yes, to pray for some people, or to prepare ourselves for a Bible study. And nowadays, really, there is no excuse, because the Bible is so handy. Everybody has the Bible in his phone, isn't it true? Yes, you have the Bible in your phone, you just have to press a button, and there is the verse that you ought to be memorizing. So easy to gain access to the Bible these days. If we want to make use of the pockets of time well, and be economical fighters, my dear friends, get ourselves involved in all these things. Scripture memorization, praying, and preparing ourselves for Bible studies. Yes, and don't forget, if we waste our time, waste our energy, waste our talents, all of us one day shall have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of what we did for him while we were on this earth. And don't think that it is a non-event. My dear friends, it is a fearful event. Understand this truth. It's not a non-event, but a fearful event. When Paul thought of this event to come, even though he was living so close to the Lord, even though he was serving the Lord well, you know what he said? He said he trembled when he thought of that event to come, standing before the Lord to give an account of what he did for him. Then finally, to run and to fight successfully in our Christian life, we must run and fight with endurance. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:27. Run and fight with endurance. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was saying this, I treat my body roughly, and I lead my body about as if I'm leading a slave. Paul was saying that, actually he was saying this, I gave my body a black eye. I gave my body a black eye. Again, he was using a figure of speech from the boxing world. In those days, just as today, boxers after a fight will be bruised black and blue, right? And Paul actually was talking about his endurance in living his Christian life. And look at the kind of endurance the great Apostle Paul had for the sake of the gospel. I'd like us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This passage we've read many times before, but I'd like us to read. And you see the kind of endurance Paul had in living his Christian life. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verse 23. Paul says this, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I know he was talking about those people, ministers, or maybe he was talking about apostles, the other apostles, or maybe he was talking about false teachers, maybe. All right, I'm not very clear about this, but he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequent, in deaths of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. In other words, he was whipped 5 times, and each of the times that he was whipped 39 times. 40 save one means 39. All right. And in verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. He was not stoned with just one stone, all right? He was stoned till he nearly died at the place called Lystra. He was stoned till he nearly died. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Shipwreck. Friends, think of for a moment, all right? He suffered shipwreck. And a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Yes, and then besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. So apart from all these things that he went through, he had to take care of the churches that he ministered to. See how much endurance this man went through in serving the Lord, in living his Christian life. What is our Christian life by comparison? What's the word? My dear friends, our Christian life is very, very soft. no sacrifice, no hardship, no persecution. Isn't it very true? Yes. And then if we lose a little sleep, we say, oh, I sacrificed a lot. Then we suffer a little bit of inconvenience, we say, oh, I suffered a lot. Yes, I sacrificed a lot. And then if we are laughed at because we give thanks for our food in public, we say, wow, we are persecuted. My dear friends, let us pray for grace to appreciate a little of what the great Apostle Paul went through when he said, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. I give my body a black eye and bring it about like a slave. My dear friends, let's pray that we may have a little appreciation of this kind of endurance in our Christian life. So, how may we live our Christian life victoriously? Just as athletes apply a lot of physical discipline, we must apply lots of spiritual discipline in order that we may be able to live our Christian life victoriously. Watch, pray, read God's word, exercise self-crucifixion, exercise the discipline of surrendering ourselves to the Lord, yielding every member of our body as instruments of righteousness for the Lord to make use of. That's the kind of discipline we must exercise. We must run to obtain, with the purpose of obtaining. We must run our race with focus, not uncertainly, but with certainty, with our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. If we don't do that, friends, we can be easily sidetracked. We can be sidetracked by the world, we can be sidetracked by a career, we can be sidetracked by many things, by an unequal yoke relationship. Now, if we lose our focus, we can also become very, very weary. And when we become very weary, we can also become very discouraged. My friends, let us fix our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we may not be weary in doing good. And if we are not weary in doing good, we will have our due reward in due time. Now, living our Christian life, let us understand, is a long distance race. It is not a 100-meter sprint. It's a long distance race, like a marathon. It is also a long, demanding fight. We live our Christian race, we live our Christian life for the rest of our life, from the day we came to trust Jesus until the day we see Him face to face. We must not fight wastefully, but we must make every of our blows count, which means we must make use of our talents in a very, very economical way. Let's not have any wastage. And if we are faithful, we will win an incorruptible crown. Maybe we say we don't win an incorruptible crown. It's not possible for us to win an incorruptible crown. Maybe we say that. But friends, for sure, if we are very faithful in our service unto the Lord, when we see Him face to face, He's going to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, if we are not faithful, what is going to happen to us? We will not lose our salvation, friends. We will be a reject. We will be a cast away. Paul says, if we don't serve Him well, then we'll be a cast away. We won't lose our salvation, as we said, but we will have no rewards. But for those who are still not in the race yet, I know that most of us are in the race, but there could be some in our midst who are not in the race. Now, if you are not in the race yet, why don't you come today? Why don't you heed this call to come to Him today and come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? But if you don't, you keep on spurning the invitation, you keep on spurning the call, your heart is being progressively hardened. Remember this man at this place called Shamukin. Yes, he said, I've seen my last chance to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ away. Yes, God might have given him up. So friends, let us not harden our heart to the extent that God will give us up. But today, hear the call of God, respond and come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, O Lord God, that You have called us to join this race. And we thank You that there was a time in our life when we came to the starting line. And that today we are in the race. Lord, help us that we may run this race well. Help us that we may run to obtain. Let help us, O Lord, that we may run and fight with discipline, with holy discipline, and help us to run and fight with endurance. And we pray for those who are not in this race yet, who are not at the starting line. We pray that you will be with them. Speak to their hearts so that they will come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today and be at the starting line. If they want to say no, we pray that your Holy Spirit may work in their hearts and cause them to say yes to you. And for all of us who are in the race, we pray that we may run purposefully, with focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and with holy discipline, so that when we see him face to face, we may hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.